Welcome to this Frequency Matters podcast. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my co-host, Gary LaRood. This is the fourth podcast in our series on innovative Internet of Things applications. And today we are exploring smart cities and some of the applications within this area. To discuss this subject with us, we have Sanjeet Pandit, head of the smart cities at Qualcomm. Welcome, Sanjeet.
Thank you. Pleasure to be on the show.
Let's start with a little bit about your background and position at Qualcomm as head of smart cities. It kind of sounds like you're the mayor of IoT at Qualcomm.
So I've been with Qualcomm in various roles. Prior to this role, I was heading up the sales for chipsets into the Asia-Pacific region, supporting the regions from San Diego, India, and Southeast Asia. I took over this practice in early 2019, and I belong to the IoT group, which is a part of the Qualcomm Chipset Technology QCT organization. And yes, I'm responsible for the go-to-market strategies and global smart cities, smart connected spaces. We normally call our practice smart connected spaces as cities fall under that domain. So yes, smart cities is a moniker that we have been, we are all used to and stuck with. But our practice is primarily smart connected spaces where we enable multiple spaces or digitization of ports, airports, cities, all encompassing.
So how do companies or other organizations engage with Qualcomm on smart city projects?
Qualcomm is a chipset manufacturer. As you know, we have a lot of R&D. We come up with a lot of chipsets that go into various applications. Companies use our chips to make boxes. These boxes get deployed. I mean, I'm just generalizing the term boxes. These are intelligent boxes that get deployed into the marketplace. And a system integrator or a solution provider takes these commercial devices and puts a solution together. Qualcomm is an integral part of the entire ecosystem. We have a Smart City Accelerator program. The Smart City Accelerator program for, I don't know how you want to term it, but I would term it as the match.com of smart cities, and where we bring in all the companies, B2B ecosystem marketplace. And we are the first in the industry who launched this. We were the first in the industry who launched this, and this has been a resounding success. Companies come to us asking for solutions for right from as simple as tracking to parking meters to making a warehouse smart to making a private LTE network. We get all kinds of solution requests from various consulting firms, cities, school districts, governments, all across the portfolio. We get a lot of requests. And we work with system integrators and solution providers to put a complete solution together to offer an end-to-end solution, which we call the Qualcomm, smart solution suite as such, or a solution in a box that we offer. And we offer a full solution, which is IoT as a service. And that's how companies come to us. They come for us looking for technology leadership. They come for us looking for solutions that can be sustainable in the long term. And they know we are a technology leader. And they want that solution in that particular domain that they're looking for.
What are some of the recent organizations you've been collaborating with for smart cities?
We have close to or more than 300 companies in the Smart City Accelerator program. We work very closely with the likes of Accenture. We work very closely with IBM. We work very closely with Verizon. We work with international customers like YTL in Malaysia, all the way to True in Bangkok, to maybe AT&T in Mexico City. So we have a not only consultant, as I mentioned, but cities, carriers, all these particular organizations work with us on various products. I mean, there are various jumping platforms that they want to jump into in the smart city or smart connected domain. So yes, we work with a lot of these guys besides all our typical, important customers who buy our chips and make solutions.
So can you talk a little bit about the value chain between yourself and the customers to the end application in the city? And how are these projects funded?
Okay, so I'll first talk about the funding piece, and then I'll talk about the ecosystem. As far as the funding piece is concerned, there are various areas. cities get funds, federal funds, city gets state funds. There are funds generated, that every city gets a budget. These come out of those normal budgets. Sometimes you have to be a little bit creative with public and private partnerships that are pretty well established and set up. Sometimes you have to work on a CapEx-OpEx model where, the CapEx is taken care of and the OpEx kind of monetization model where you monetize the entire operation with advertising or maybe, retail storefront push of their products, and they get funded, but mostly through funds that have been allocated to the cities as such. As far as the ecosystem is concerned, take the case of a parking meter, a simple parking meter that is now replaced from the coins to a credit card or your NFC-based payment, Apple or Google Pay or any other. We make the chip. The chip is then given to one of our customers who makes a module. The module is then given to a company that makes the entire solution for parking, the internal electronics. Those are then sent to a company that makes a complete outer casing and a parking meter. And then that company either sells directly to the city or sells to a system integrator who has a contract with the city, and then that gets installed on the street or into the city. And us as a customer, we use that parking meter. While we are four levels or three levels cut off from the end user, we are there to ensure there is connectivity, there is compute, and most important, there is reliability and security in that silicon that can finally take your payment, process it, send it over the air, and make sure that all the integration is done right and we have every single component of that working in cohesion. So I think as far as ecosystem is concerned, while we may appear to be completely cut off, we push our technology right to the end customer and create a pull for it. And we may appear to be right at the bottom of the stack, but with our IoT as a service and a complete offering, we are cutting across every layer of the ecosystem.
Well, that's impressive that you encompass the whole ecosystem, because that is usually done by somebody at the ground level doing chips, and taking a system approach really helps it get implemented. So how are different countries approaching smart city projects? Do they have different emphasis and goals?
Every country is different. There is an underlining use case that is citizen enablement, making sure the technology is deployed to solve a problem. Technology doesn't need to be just deployed because there is new technology. So we go with the approach of we understand which country needs what. We have offices all across the world. We work with the governments, we work with the operators, we work with the local administration to understand what the problems are in that city. What is their main area of concern? What are the main issues they are facing? And then we come up with a solution, working it for the term reverse engineering, where we understand what the issue is. We come back and say what we could do better, and we could deploy it. So yes, as far as countries are concerned, every country has its own priority. The U.S. may be deploying today 5G and things around 5G, and maybe some cities are still in the process within the U.S. as well to have just basic smart lighting put in. Countries in like Singapore, which are much more advanced because of their, easy to access size and, governance, have smart airports all the way to maybe smart transit. Indonesia is in the process of putting in smart parking and also figuring out how they can ease their traffic congestion. So yes, every country approaches differently, but I would say the end goal is to ensure that technology is deployed not for the sake of deployment. Technology is deployed for solving a problem.
So 3GPP recently finished release 16. What new 5G capabilities are enabled in that release that can be applied to smart cities?
I think cities are active agents in the rollout of 5G. Small cells are needed to kind of augment the existing cellular networks. Ultra reliable, low latency communication and mission critical applications would be extremely important to put in there. First respondents will be, you will see how that first respondent space and autonomous driving space will transform the city services. There will be, you know, primarily areas that would change would be obviously anything that requires absolute low latency, high reliability use cases. Maybe there will be some street cameras that would automatically detect and predict a accident or identify an accident and call 911 or immediately inform the first respondent even before somebody makes a call. So there are some unique features that can be picked, you know, can be handpicked from the release that we have to work together with the city, the carriers, and most important, with the people who are going to use this, you know, like the maybe even companies who are trying to deploy autonomous driving and CV2X kind of use cases. So to answer your question, it's like a huge buffet. We have to pick and choose what we get to and how that benefits the current deployments that are ongoing and augments what is coming forward.
So speaking of a buffet, there's many types of networks for IoT capabilities. Which ones are used mostly for smart cities?
Well, I think LTE, Cat M1, narrowband IoT are very, very common. There are some mesh networks that have been legacy. They're not going away. Everybody has a space to play in. So I would say most common is LTE, Cat M1, and narrowband IoT. Of course, there is LPWN technologies as well, but you know, for a mass market deployment, most of the deployments are across the two that I mentioned.
So you mentioned connected and autonomous vehicles, and let's explore how those will fit in the smart city. Since it may take some time before we see full autonomy, what kind of near-term capabilities will integrate into cars and integrate the cars into the smart city infrastructure?
I think it is, you know, they always say you got to build the roads and the cars will come. And this is exactly analogous to the autonomous space. You have to build the technology and then the autonomous cars will slowly come on. So there is already a large amount of networks out there that have been currently run for testing of CV2X. There are consortiums being formed, and I think RSU, roadside unit boxes, which have CV2X capability, cars which have the capability to connect to these CV2X boxes are going to be extremely you know, important as 5G gets rolled out. So to answer your question, as far as autonomous driving is concerned, there will be a phased approach where we feel that cities will kind of demarcate area for testing. They will try to get a corridor, you know, cordoned off for ensuring that this is done right. Car companies will also ensure that they are compatible with the networks and the deployments, that the companies who own the networks and the RSUs are done correctly. And I think the most important thing, in my opinion, is it all has to converge at one point. And Qualcomm is coming up with multiple chipsets that have been adopted, not only by the RSU makers, but also with the car companies. There are other companies out there as well who are doing a tremendous amount of work. And I think this is an exciting space. And I'm looking forward to this, as I would say the 5G and the technology deployment will be most visible to a human eye in this area.
So how will safety and services be improved with smart cities? What type of problems are you solving there?
As I mentioned, first respondent and surveillance for crime, border security control. You will have drones, which are, you know, with high bandwidth cameras, you know, which you require for these kind of applications. This is an extremely high video centric play. And in this kind of situation, I would say it will really benefit the cities. As far as use cases are concerned, there are use cases today that can be done without the advent of 5G or any new technology, but having 5G and ultra low latency deployments will be able to generate high reliability use cases down the line. So first respondents, surveillance, security, border controls, defense, these areas you would see, robotics, you will see a lot of use cases developing with this.
So futurists have discussed smart cities for years, and obviously there's many, many dimensions to what might make a city smart. Given that complexity, would you say there are any cities out there that are smart yet, and when might we expect to live in one?
Well, I think we're already living in a smart city. We are in some way, shape, or form. It's just that you have to understand what platform and what level of smartness, or I would say digitization and sensory fabric exist in that city. As you go to airports, you'll realize you have smarter and smarter parkings in place. You have LED sensors and automatic dynamic spot detectors that kind of tell you where the parking spots are. You have easy payment gateways there. You don't have to wait in line and you can pay through your apps. So these may not be completely, a city being smart, but there are smart lights and smart LED lights, which, adjust the brightness depending upon AI and how many people are below that light. So there are cities already deploying this kind of stuff. And in my opinion, where the city I've seen is really smart in a very controlled environment like Singapore, where it is easy to deploy, easy to control. There's a lot of governance and, a lot of discipline amongst all the sections of the population. And I think that's one city, which is, I would say, a city within a city, and it's easy to deploy. So I've seen a lot of smartness in that city. But as we are not far behind, we are really doing well. There are multiple, given the size of the United States and where we are, I think we are at a very good spot. And we are at a spot with 5G's coming in, and we would be, again, as usual, the first to take off.
So looking toward the future for smart cities, where do you see us maybe 5 years down the road and being able to accomplish these?
5 years down the road, I think AI will play a very, very important role in smart cities. I would say AI today is what internet was in 1997, 99, where you had Netscape and you could just AOL mail and you had mail. You never imagined then that you would be able to go online and see a particular location or order a package that would come the same day or the next day. That's exactly where AI is today, where internet was in 1999. What's going to happen down the line is AI is going to play a very important role in taking critical decisions on behalf of, day-to-day activities. And it will change the way and transform the way cities work. There's going to be a lot of innovation that 5G will amplify. And I would say mostly the transformation of city services, the perspectives of the governments of deployments, and most important, the social and digital inclusion overall will increase in 5 years.
Well, thank you, Sanjeet, for joining us to explore smart cities and Qualcomm's engagement in the technology that is enabling cities to be smart. Arguably, most of Microwave Journal's readers are focused on RF microwave technology and the components using it. We don't have the end-to-end visibility that Qualcomm has, so we don't often see the fielded applications. So in particular, we appreciate you giving us a view into your work and the impact it is having in the smart cities area. We hope to have you back on a future episode, let's say before 5 years, to hear about the progress in this area. So thanks very much.
Thank you so much. Stay safe and stay smart.